sometimes the desire to homeschool catches you by surprise. That's the case for the family in today's episode. The Cavan children were in public school and all was going well enough until 2020. Then they decided to change course and set a new trajectory for their family. In today's episode, the Cavans share their story with us. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades now through her literature-based approach to education. In this episode from the archive, Carol talks with Seth and Aaron Cavan about their experience of beginning to homeschool after years in the public school system. They share how they eliminated video games, started reading together, and are still learning to develop rhythms that encourage family togetherness. Since this episode first aired, the Cavans continue to homeschool and recently graduated their oldest daughter. Before we jump into the episode, I want to tell you about CTC Math. Have you tried many different math programs and none of them seem to work for your family? Lots of Homeschool Made Simple families have tried CTC Math and found it to be a great fit for their family. With short lessons that encourage practice after bite-sized instruction, CTC Math helps kids have success experiences in math from kindergarten through 12th grade. Try CTC Math for free for 1 week at ctcmath.com or through the link in the show notes. Now let's get into the episode. Well, today I'm sitting with my friends, Seth and Aaron Cavan, and we have just had church together, and now I wanted to interview them about their story. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Seth and Aaron, you've been homeschooling about how long now?
This is our fourth year of homeschool.
Okay. Fourth year.
Just fourth.
Wow. That's incredible. And tell us about your kids. What are their, you don't have to tell us their names necessarily, but their ages.
I have a 16-year-old girl, a 13-year-old girl, and 12-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
All boy.
Yes. And you want to tell us a little bit about your story? Have you, so you haven't always homeschooled, obviously. So how did you get into this world and what, maybe you started one way and jumped into another way. Tell us your story.
So we were very much embedded in public school. We live in a great school system. Mm-hmm. That air quotes for those who can't see this. I was public school. Seth, you were public school. So we were all on board. And our oldest started having difficulty with the public school system when she was in all of the advanced math courses. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, starting to put her in some of those things. And she was coming home crying, but had an A in class.
Yes.
And I thought, well, this
stress
doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Why are you upset? Well, I'm just so worried that I can't ask questions because it might slow everybody else down. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my first indicator that maybe we needed to try something different, but didn't really do anything about it until the following year when there were some turmoil with public schools. And I thought, well, we'll try this online school.
Mm-hmm.
So we started online school with her, and she's the oldest, and she's very compliant and very good at rule following. Mm-hmm. and finishing her work. So we did things online, but I could just see her kind of like wilting.
Yes.
And she would say, I don't want to be on this computer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was working for Seth. Mm-hmm. We have an architecture and interior design and engineering firm. So I was able to put my compliant little child in the corner with a computer while I did my work. But I just could see that it wasn't going well, mm-hmm. even though she was making the grades.
Mm-hmm.
So then COVID hit, and I'll give Seth a chance to talk. You mm-hmm. want to say anything about what happened when COVID hit and how that came about?
Sure. So we looked at our options as far as what we could do with the two younger children whenever we had some irregularities with whether the kids would be at school or not at school. And we decided to move them all onto this schedule or this program for the online school.
Yes.
And maybe a week and a half into it, Aaron called and was crying and said, I need to do something different because these two children couldn't understand that you have to wait on a computer to respond to you through the internet. So, and it was this very impersonal interaction with them that was very difficult for them. They needed more interpersonal interaction. And she said, I want to try homeschooling. So that's where we started the process of trying to determine what homeschooling even looked like.
Yes, yes. And then what happened?
So a friend of mine had been talking to you and had implemented your methods, and her children are younger. Her oldest is a couple of years younger than my youngest. But when she told me about you, I thought, well, maybe this is something I need to explore. Mm. So we set up a phone interview. This was all, you know, in 2020 when nobody was ever talking in person, and the phone kept getting dropped. Do you remember this?
I was on my way to a retreat, and you were so anxious to get an appointment that I said, uh-huh. Well, I'm booked way far in advance, but if you want to talk to me while I drive. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't realize it was that my phone was set up to be off of highways, and I didn't know that. It was taking me down these farm roads. There was no reception, and I didn't know why. So yeah, it was an inauspicious beginning.
It was. And so it was funny, though. I kept trying to, you were asking me about each child, and I'm giving you information, yes. kind of telling you about my story, obviously desperate, just wanting some feedback, and the phone call kept getting dropped. And you finally said, I am not going to be charging you for this appointment. This is ridiculous. But my favorite was when you said, Erin, you have got to quiet the voices. And I was like, absolutely. You just spoke deep into my soul. All of the voices were just swirling around in my head about what I needed to be doing with these children that are my responsibility. They are my love, and I don't want to lead them down this path. And I knew we were off course.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. So what happened?
You had a recording because of 2020 that your sweet assistant made you do that it had – you know, all about nutrition, it was all about homeschool, but it was your the whole course. You said, listen to my course. If it sounds appealing to you, you said, I really would like for your husband to listen to at least part of it. Mm-hmm. And if you get his buy-in and blessing and he wants to pursue it, then let's set up a real appointment. Mm-hmm. And you said, most husbands won't listen to all the recordings. If you can get him to listen to these two particular ones uh-huh. and get his feedback, that'd be great. Yeah. So Seth literally called. This is how I know it was Holy Spirit intervention. Seth called, and he is so busy at work, works all the time. And middle of the day calls are unusual. I literally got a call from him when you and I hung up, and he was just calling to check on me. So then I fell apart mm-hmm. and I burst into tears. I said, I don't know what to do, but I, and I just basically told him, she told me I could do this. I could watch these videos. Would you be willing to watch a few with me? And he said, well, how about I clear my schedule and watch all of them with
what?
You?
What?
And I take
didn't
off
know
work.
All this story. Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. Way to go, Seth.
Yeah. So he did. He cleared his work schedule, which is super hard as the owner of a big business. Yeah. And he sat on the couch and watched them all with me. He only had to watch about two before he said, I'm in.
Oh.
But.
And what were you thinking? What was resonating with you, Seth, as you were thinking of the children and your family?
So part of my motivation was to be more impactful on my kids than their teachers and their friends, which we were seeing that already, that there was a lot of influence from, you know, air quotes, friends who are people they may have just met that school year, and they're so influenced by their peers and so influenced by their school teachers, which can be good or bad, and we just don't know that until we might not know that for decades.
Yes.
And so being more impactful and more engaged in their development and their education and who they are as a person, it felt like that was a more involved way to do it versus just dropping them off, handing them off, and letting someone else
Raise them.
Raise them. That's right.
That's good. So what were some of the changes? What were some of the methodology? I can't even say the word. Methodological. Is that a word? Changes that were made in how you were doing life with the kids.
Well, first things first, and this is not to say that I don't work sometimes still for our firm. Mm-hmm. The big change for me was a little bit of humble pie because I found my confidence a whole lot in my work.
Interesting.
And
identity.
My identity was very much embedded a lot with my productivity mm-hmm. and my creativity. I'm a designer. Mm-hmm. That was who I was.
Yeah.
And I wanted motherhood to be that, but it was very difficult for me to balance. And it was funny, Seth was able to replace me with a couple of people. And I know, right? But it was humbling because I'm jumping into, I am with these children constantly, mm-hmm. which I've never done since I birthed them.
Yes.
And just spending day in, day out, and in a way that I'm not trained as a teacher. Mm-hmm. So it was intimidating. It was very much a trustful.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as just daily implementation, I think we reduced screens. I won't say we got rid of them completely. Like we still battle with that. Mm-hmm. We battle with it because I was a kid that's how you relaxed. Mm-hmm. I would curl up next to my mother on the couch and watch the news and MASH and then go to bed. That's mm-hmm. how I soothed myself. So mm-hmm. it's funny. That's been still a challenge, but I do see such fruit from getting them off of the computer screens, we completely eliminated video games, and we have one TV in the house. It's very tiny, and it hides back in this cabinet, and it gets used for family movie night or things that are very – I love that you have included some really cool films.
In my part two seminar.
In your seminar and your handout. And it's wonderful because it's funny, my 13-year-old who, you know, is very much, she was just very with all of the times,
yes.
you know, just culturally embedded. Her favorite movie is Take It With You. That's
Jimmy Stewart, Jean Arthur, Lyle. Uh-huh. Barrymore.
It's her absolute favorite movie, and she'll say all the time, well, if we don't know what to watch, we can watch that. So
she's such a kindred spirit.
She's awesome. So anyways, that I think has just changed, even, you know, reading the Glow Kids book that you've recommended, that has just changed the way that I can see things firing in their brain.
Yes.
It changed me.
Yes.
Because I was a person where if I was space planning and doing work, I could literally sit down at a computer at 8 a.m. and not get up except to go to the bathroom until 6 p.m.
Oh, my word.
And I was coming home grumpy when I would pick them up from school because the game was still going on in my head.
Yes.
I was still problem solving what I needed to do at work
yes.
while my children are trying to tell me about their day. Mm. And I would catch myself being like, go away, kid, you bother me. I'm busy. You know, in my head, I'm busy.
Yes.
I don't have time to listen to you. So that has just changed, just knowing the kids better, them feeling like they can come to me and talk to me. Mm-hmm. And they are just the information that we've gone over by reading
yes.
and reading together.
Yeah, talk about that.
It's so fun to be able to relate to them mm-hmm. and go, oh, remember when we read about that in this book? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, Mom, you know how this happens in such and such book, mm-hmm. that totally reminds me of what happened today with these friends. And I love it that we're referencing books and not always movies.
Yes.
Because
yes.
it felt like it was that
yes.
before.
True.
And they're
so you
just
have the same
maturing.
Shared experiences
yeah.
because you read the same books.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm, that's so good. You're building family culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's been wonderful. And I think they've gained some confidence in knowing well, what were we talking about this morning? Critical thinking. I feel like their critical thinking abilities have gone through the roof
really?
Versus when they were at school.
Oh, have you noticed that, Seth?
Yes. So that's a good and bad because they do hold you more accountable.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge.
They don't give you any slack.
Right, right. So it's it is fun to have them. They'll bring things to us, and they'll think through some of the things long term. So we were just talking about our middle daughter who had ordered chickens some time ago, and these chickens are set to show up, and they'll be day old hatchlings that just show up, and she's saving boxes and talking about, you know, oh well, I've got to set these up. They're going to be my, this is going to be my brooder, and then we're going to have this much time. Then I need my chicken coop, and then she's like, "Where's my chicken coop?" So and she has a very like defined thing. So we ordered a chicken coop just the other day, and we were talking about going out of town over Thanksgiving.
Right.
And she goes, "Oh, well, I have to find a chicken sitter." So it's like,
yeah,
she's thinking critically about the next steps long term. So this is a 13-year-old that's thinking about what she needs to do at the end of November.
Yes.
Whenever we're out of town for a week. So those
impressive.
Are for sure. And they are, you know, they're thinking about, okay, if I have chickens, then, you know, what if I have too many eggs? Can I sell my eggs? And how would I do that?
To Auntie Carol.
That's right.
Right.
So they're a lot more critical thinking and a lot more engaged in problem solving.
Yes.
They have very odd hobbies for the most part. Again, you know, raising chickens, gardening.
Yes.
The girls both crochet.
I was going to say, and sew.
Taught themselves how to knit.
And cooking and baking.
That's right. And my son likes to tie flies.
Yes.
For fly fishing. Yes. He likes to fly fish and buy the material to go back and tie his own flies.
Love
those
it.
Sorts of things.
Love
which
it.
Are great. Great for his dexterity.
Yeah, small motor control. Eye-hand coordination. Perfect skill.
It hasn't taught him organization yet.
No.
But
he's
only
12 years old.
This is true.
And he's the baby of the family.
Uh-huh.
So he's a late bloomer in those areas, but you don't want him to act like a firstborn girl.
No.
He's not that.
He's all boy. And he looks like Dennis the Menace from the cartoon strip with his long blonde hair and his exuberance and his excitement and his passion. And my favorite part of church every Sunday is when Hank runs up and tackles me with the best hug and then tells me what he's reading.
Oh, and he devours books. And that's been fun to watch. You know, it's interesting because he does have friends that are not homeschooled.
Sure.
And it's real easy to get sucked back into video games. Mm-hmm. That was a hard thing to unplug with him. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't doing a lot of like the bang, bang, shoot 'em up. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he loved the Lego games. Mm-hmm. But just unplugging him, the level of interaction I have with him, mm-hmm. of eye contact, mm-hmm. of him being calmer, of him being able to – I can see it when he goes to a birthday party where there are video games.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, it's just not good because the next whole day I'll know he's irritable. Mm-hmm. He is impatient. He is distracted. Wow. And I just think, well, that is perfect evidence.
Yes. That what we're doing is right.
Yeah, that what we're doing is right. And I know I can't keep him out of the world, but if I can teach him the right ways to act when he's in the world, mm-hmm. then I feel like that's a win.
Do you want to get your kids into music lessons but don't want to add a commute to your schedule? Take commuting to music lessons off your to-do list this year and spend more time actually making music. At Vogtberg Music Academy, you can learn to play piano, guitar, mandolin, ukulele, or violin and fiddle right in your own home. Rewind the tough parts, speed up your progress with bonus lessons in the video vault, and learn a new song every single week. My daughter had just started the piano lessons and she is really loving it. Join thousands of other families using VogtbergMusicAcademy.com as their one-stop shop for musical instruction, all for less than $30 a month per family per instrument. Use our code HOMESCHOOL20 and get 20% off every month you are enrolled at Vogtberg Music Academy. Music should be for everyone and learning has never been more efficient and fun. Now let's get back to the episode.
Seth, have you been reading to the kids out loud any?
We have. We're that's a challenge for us to get into that rhythm. Mm-hmm. We had some really good books early on, and then we have tried some more challenging books, and they are definitely more challenging for everybody to engage in. But we have been doing reading together. We're also doing, we're just generally spending more time together, which is, I think, beneficial. There's, we're trying to get onto our new rhythm. We actually went out last night and sat down, and Erin had mapped out kind of her ideal week for homeschool, and then and lining that up with what my schedule looks like, and then setting some goals for being able to do things as a family. And of course, as the kids get older, they're all in youth group now. So Wednesday nights are kind of a
intimate.
It's correct. And then we have community group on Tuesday nights. Yeah. So we start running out of nights during the week that we're together. So we're trying to identify, like,
protect one or two of them to where you know that you can do it on those nights. Mm-hmm. It's just us, and we can read. Mm-hmm. But it's been a blast, because when we do get a fun book like that covers the gamut, our favorite last one, I think, was Danny, Champion of the World.
I knew you were going to say that. Isn't all that three of the a kids. Universally delicious book?
It is. And we all just giggled and laughed. I and like Seth's laughing as he's reading it. And the kids are laughing and I'm laughing. And the funny thing is, some of the kids had read it independently before. And I was like, well, do you guys care if we do it again? They're like, no, it's a great one. And so then Seth and I hadn't read it. And it was perfect.
It's amazing book. And the relationship of the father to the son is so, most Roald Dahl books, you're not feeling quite that tenderness. Mm-hmm. In Matilda, there was a sweet tenderness too with the teacher, but the tenderness of the father to the son, that book it's just a perfect book.
Yeah.
It really is.
It was perfect. It was a fun one. We've tried some challenging ones as well, and I think those have been good. Well, I first started off reading The Hobbit to the kids, and that was a blast. That really wasn't as much of a challenge as you'd think. Right now, we're doing Out of the Silent Planet.
Oh, wow.
And,
For Hank, that's quite a sophisticated book.
It is a sophisticated book. He's into it.
Is he?
Yeah. But it's funny because I've noticed we loved Freckles. That was a great one. Mm-hmm. So, we kind of run the gamut of types of books.
What have you liked, Dad?
I did. I liked Freckles. I didn't think I was going to like Freckles.
Mm-hmm. Takes a little while to figure it out. It's not like any other book you've ever read.
Correct.
I know. Jean Stratton Porter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. All of her books. The kids have read Keeper of the Bees, I read Girl of the Limberlost. They haven't yet, but they're wonderful.
I used to say to people, if you have to pay your children $100 to read Jean Stratton Porter books, it's the best money you'll ever spend. Mm. They're such character-building books without being preachy, sermonetty, annoying. Children hate that. Mm-hmm. But they're deep, and they just make you want to grow up to be like these people. Their character is exemplary. Yeah.
I know it's a fun process of getting everybody to wind down.
Yes.
And that's probably the benefit, one of the biggest benefits. Our kids are very much all wound up. They start really hitting their stride about 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah. No. They come alive like I do at night. And I'm like, oh, gosh, this is so hard to unwind. No. It always has been. But but when we do a book together, it really does. You can just kind of, it takes about the first 5 or 10 minutes and we're all still up getting tea or a snack or these. I'm like, just put your bottom in the seat. We're getting in a rhythm here. But after about 10 minutes, you kind of see the shoulders fall and you see the tension fall off. And so.
Yeah. Has this method made you readers yourselves?
Yes.
Much more so.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A different kind of reader. So
tell me about it. I'm sure you read for work and.
Correct.
And information.
I had always felt like I needed to read and the book should be beneficial.
Yes.
I'm learning this skill set or whatever it is.
Yes.
As opposed to just enjoying reading a book. Mm-hmm. I think you're that way as well.
Yeah. I still struggle with that because I struggle with feeling like I need to be productive all the time.
Yeah. Where does that come from?
Oh, gosh, we don't have time to unpack that.
Right. Just teasing.
I know. Yeah. But it's funny because the kids are, they'll be the ones to call me out on it now. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you'll say, what are you reading? Mm-hmm. And all of those things. Or people will say, what's on your nightstand? And they're like, oh, mom. And they roll their eyes and they say, she has all the self-help and Christian books that you can find on her nightstand. And so Vivian the other day, because she could tell I was stressed out. Yeah. She comes to me, she's like, please read something just for fun, mom.
Oh.
So anyways, wow. I grabbed Hawk and the Dove. I'm starting that one. So.
Oh, you're hitting all the my favorite books in the world. Seth, have you read that yet?
Yes, it was one of the first ones I read, actually.
Oh, yeah. I think I do remember you reading that book. Yeah. Anything you want to say to a dad about that book? Hawk and the Dove. Penelope Wilcock.
It's an interesting book because the subject matter, I won't even explain the subject matter, but it's very much, you start reading and you're going, how am I going to relate to any of this? Or how is this going to be?
Well, you need to explain that it's set in a monastery in the Middle Ages.
That's right. That's what I didn't want to do. So,
well, let's give them a forewarning.
Yeah.
So that's just, it's interesting because you, some of the books that you read, you don't, maybe they don't feel relatable or interesting to read whenever you think about that, whenever you frame it with that, as opposed to just sitting down and reading the book and enjoying the book.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So have you seen spiritual development in your kids since you've kind of changed their lifestyle and their methodology of education?
Yes, I have. Oh my gosh, Catherine Voss's
Child Story Bible
has been amazing for me.
Yes.
I mean,
it is for any adult as well.
And all of us reading it together, I just feel like their level of understanding has been amazing. But just from a spiritual standpoint, I think that it just makes it so free for us to talk about things and discuss. I mean, we even last year, our oldest, I was telling Seth this yesterday, recounting just her spiritual growth and knowing that, you know, none of us have. We're constantly, you know, being refined and sanctified. And yeah, we were in the car talking last year about some things. And out of nowhere, she said, Mom, this is when she was 15. Mom, I feel like I know all about God, but I don't know God.
Wow.
I was like, wow, you and half the adults I know and myself at times.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
But just that she can recognize that. And then, you know, we've had some challenges with the middle one and some of the profound things that'll come out of her mouth that I just think, wow. And I don't even realize she's retaining scripture.
Yes.
And she will spout something off and not in a way that is prescriptive or churchy. I use that word a lot, but not churchy.
Yes.
In a very sincere, appropriate way.
Yes.
They're owning it. And same with the youngest. I mean, he's always kind of been, we've teased that he's either going to be a preacher or a salesman.
I agree.
But
I vote for the preacher.
I do too.
he's got it in him.
He's connected the dots from an early age, but I think just the ability to speak to him on a level where there's some understanding and application. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of growth versus just me saying memorize your Bible verses.
Right.
Which is how I, you know,
how you
a lot of us were raised. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Memorization's awesome. But if you're not connecting the dots, then I feel like that's missed.
Good point. So as we close, if there's someone listening today, particularly some dads, Seth, what advice would you give families that are considering this approach to education, maybe pulling their kids out of school or changing the way they're homeschooling, what advice would you give from your own experience?
I think if you can trust the process that you're going to go through, because it is overwhelming, and understand that change and that implementation happens over time, that's one thing that we're still after 4 years, still trying to find a rhythm to how we do things. Yes. And as our kids get older and how they engage, the idea that there's a four the mom or the person who is the parent that is engaging is the primary to manage the homeschool process and kind of guide the kids. It's a very frustrating from the standpoint of if they're in a world where they are used to seeing results from their work, mm-hmm. this is not that world. Mm-hmm. You don't see those results now. You see them you see glimpses of it, like mm-hmm. we've talked about,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but we don't see immediate results. Mm-hmm.
No paycheck on Friday afternoon from this job.
There's right. not. And there's no real metric to mm-hmm. measure mm-hmm. how that process is going. So supporting your wife, supporting your spouse and how, yes. In their efforts and just reminding of them of that, it's a long game for sure.
Yes. Yes. And holding up their arms because they're on the front line. You're gone all day getting kudos at work. Sometimes, maybe not. But I know, you know, no job is a dream. But for the mom, as you say, I mean, she's up against it. And particularly if you're reinventing the wheel, like kids who have not been raised this way, this isn't common, you know, nature, like, oh, well, we're going to do what? You know, particularly children who've, I say, been institutionalized. Mm-hmm. And they're used to someone saying, fill in this workbook page, da 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 da, read this chapter and answer the questions. And then you bring them home and we're just going to read for a couple hours a day and put you to hard manual labor. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
It's just so nebulous to a child who's been in school all their lives. And, yeah. you know, when you homeschool an older child who's used to that system, yeah. that is another challenge, I think.
Mm-hmm. But I also think that it is so valuable for them to be exposed, even if they've been in that world, mm-hmm. almost especially if they've been in that world, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden you've introduced something that makes them very uncomfortable. So it's naturally mm-hmm. going to be very hard, but also super worthwhile.
Yes.
Because I am not interested in producing children that just check boxes all the time.
Right on.
That just don't think for themselves, mm-hmm. that don't trust God, that don't take risks and chances based on faith.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, this method will grow your kids up in ways that a school classroom just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it's not easy. It's not an easy way.
No.
But nothing worth doing. You know, when you're dealing with hard things, you know, like I always say, go up to an Olympic gold medalist and say, were there any sacrifices that you had to make for this? Yeah. And they'll just laugh at you. And what about your family? They didn't have to make any sacrifices, did they? Are you kidding? Like anything important and valuable, it's good. It's hard.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
And I think to that point, it's one of the exceptional people are considered weird until people figure out that they're exceptional. Oh. So people who are exceptional, and even then, they have to do things that are outside of the norm, and that makes them a little weird.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Einstein, Edison, Eleanor Roosevelt, they were out of the mainstream, and their teachers thought there was something wrong with them. But what was wrong with them is that they were geniuses, and their mothers believed in them, thankfully, particularly in Einstein and Edison's case. And aren't we glad that they did? But, you know, we're not creating little cogs for the machinery. We're creating inventors and people that, you know, I don't know what we're looking for. People that think differently.
Well, people who realize that they have purpose and that they are individually, fearfully, and wonderfully made.
That's right.
And that they're part of, you know, not to sound cheesy, but the tapestry piece. I tell the kids all the time, I'm like, you are a beautiful thread in the warp tapestry. And weave mm-hmm. of our family and mm-hmm. of this whole community. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, you might be the metallic slub of yarn. You might be the turquoise or the purple or whatever. And together it works beautifully. Mm-hmm. I don't see things in black and white. Mm-hmm. I'd rather see them in color.
Amen. Well, Seth, would you mind closing us in prayer and praying for these folks who are listening?
Thank Absolutely. You. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for homeschool. Mm-hmm. And pray that you would guide families to that end as it meets your will, as part of your will. Pray that people would be blessed by this podcast and our story, and pray that would guide them to be more engaged with their children, more engaged with you and in the kingdom, and how they would impact the world for your kingdom. Mm. Pray these in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.